Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for tuning in. Today I'm joined by a special guest, one of those rare occasions where I get to interview someone. Woohoo! I'm excited to have Christy Hayes with me for the next half hour. We're going to talk about how setting healthy boundaries are a vital key to building a burnout-free life. We all want a burnout-free life, don't we? Specifically, Christy is going to talk about the connection between burnout and the lack of boundaries and what are the types of boundaries, and she's going to share her advice on how to set boundaries, even when you get pushback from friends and family, because you probably will get pushback. But first, before we get started, I'm going to give you a little bit on Christy's background. She received her Master's of Arts in Counseling from St. Edward's University, and she's a licensed professional counselor. She provides individual counseling sessions and small group workshops in Austin, Texas, and surrounding communities in the Central Texas area. And even though our topic today is relevant for women and men alike, Christy's primarily dedicated to helping women be unapologetically themselves. She helps women find and proudly own their femininity, kick butt in the corporate world, and she empowers them to create lives where perfectionism and burnout are things of the past. In her work, she's able to uniquely combine her past corporate experience with her counseling knowledge to help high-achieving, exhausted, and stressed-out women get back to living the life they want to live. Her motto is, be happy, be awesome, be less stressed. I so love that. Hi, Christy, and welcome. Are you ready to tell us about boundaries and building a burnout-free life?
Hi, Angela. Thanks for having me. I am very excited to talk about boundaries and burnout. And
yay, I'm glad you are too.
Yeah.
So let's start. Let's get right into it, because a half an hour before you know it, it's going to go by real fast.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Let's start. Okay, so I want to talk first about why you think it's so important to set boundaries in order to reduce stress and burnout. That connection is fascinating to me. So could you tell us more about why you think it's relevant?
Absolutely. I think boundaries are one of the vital keys to preventing burnout from actually happening in your life. Bottom line is we're doing too much. We're taking on too much. We're committing to too much. We are helping out other people before helping ourselves and not really replenishing ourselves, which is leading to lots of stress. And then lots of stress over a long period of time where you're not caring for yourself and setting those healthy boundaries leads to burnout. And boundaries actually give you permission to recover from stress, to say no to things that maybe that don't need to be in your life, that are maybe taking energy that doesn't really need to be taken away. And boundaries are really that permission piece.
Yeah. And especially, I think, we think about right now we're doing this program during the holiday season. And so we have a lot of pressure from our families to do things that some of us may not be so crazy about the idea, but we have to do it, right? I mean, so I think that you're right. It is just such a time that we can get so stressed out and burned out anyway. But I'm curious, I mean, we use the term healthy boundary a lot, so, you know, about healthy. So what do you know, how do you know that it's a healthy boundary versus just a boundary? I mean, that's really a buzz term that we hear a lot, so tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So with boundaries, when I look at them, one, it's your own limits. We have lots of different types of boundaries. So we have, like, personal space boundaries when we're at the grocery store. We have boundaries with everyone that we interact with in our lives, with our significant others, with our kids, with coworkers, with other parents that we may know, with friends. We all have those different boundaries, different limits with them. And really the way to determine if it's healthy is to look at three different types of boundaries. First one is a rigid boundary, and then there's a flexible boundary, and then there's non-existent, so it's just not there. Usually flexible tends to be the most healthy. It's not in all circumstances the healthiest. With flexibility, it can change in circumstances. let's say we use the example of meeting someone new. Maybe you're trying to build up a friendship. When you first meet someone, you're not going to reveal everything about yourself. It's just going to be, okay, I'll share this, and this trust is built. That boundary changes of how much you allow that person to know about you.
Right.
And then it also, and so flexibility allows for those changes in circumstances, and that usually tends to be the healthiest. Okay, right now I'm really tired. I can't say yes to these volunteering opportunities. Next month when I have more free time, then, yeah, I can say that's flexibility.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, what about a rigid? I mean, I think sometimes a healthy boundary, I mean, maybe that might be the only boundary you can have with someone is a rigid boundary. So
yeah.
If that be the case and you still want to have a relationship with them, could that be considered, I mean, that fall, you said that's one of the boundaries, so I'm assuming that's the way a healthy
yeah.
one is, right?
Yeah, and really it's going to be knowing yourself. So if you need to have a rigid boundary, if that person has shown you over time that they can't be trusted or that this is an area where you might get hurt if you go there, then absolutely having a rigid boundary is going to be best for you and really best for them, because they over time will learn, okay, I can't go there with them. We don't talk about these things, or,
yeah.
you know, Christy doesn't go to this place. So the rigid is there absolutely if you need it.
We don't talk about politics.
Right,
we saw
right.
a lot of rigid boundaries in the recent presidential campaigning that happened. So it's like, no, my sister and I just did not discuss politics. She would start talking, and I would just say, mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about something else, okay, sweetie? She'd be like, okay.
I love it. Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm very flexible with her, you know? So that was healthy.
Absolutely, yeah. That was a good call.
Now, tell me what you think about rigid and unhealthy, because I personally think I'm pretty good about the whole boundary thing, but maybe if you could give us an example of when a rigid boundary is not healthy.
I think rigid can be unhealthy when it's sort of generically applied. So let's mm-hmm. say, you know, with your sister, you don't talk about politics. Okay, well, you're not going to talk with her about maybe other topics, or you're not going to talk about politics with anybody. Or mm-hmm. Really when you're starting to close yourself off and use the rigid to build more of a wall. So I don't talk to strangers ever. That's rigid, and then how do you build friendships? You know, how do you meet new people and evaluate those things? So when you sort of generically apply it and don't have that flexibility of the different circumstances, that's when rigid can really sort of make you isolated and feel a little alone.
Do you think perhaps people who have, speaking of the word political, let's just say politically correct way of saying it, that maybe they're socially awkward and maybe shy or introverted or whatever. I mean, do you think that could be an example if, you know, instead of, you know, pushing yourself to go do something, you have this rigid boundary of, no, I'm not going to do that because that puts myself out there too much, makes me too vulnerable. And is that kind of what you're meaning by an unhealthy boundary?
Yeah. So take myself. I'm a more introverted person. If you say, hey, Christy, let's go out on a Friday night, my first instinct is, nah, I want to stay home and watch a movie. But then I'm going to spend every night at home watching a movie, and then I'm not interacting socially, and then I get stressed out a different way, because we all need those connections with people.
That's
so it's knowing, okay, yeah, my first instinct might just be to say no, but, okay, have I gone to a movie with some friends?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe I haven't this month. Let's get out and go do something.
Yeah. No, that makes mm-hmm. sense now. Okay, so you said something about non-existent. How can a boundary, I guess it's not really a boundary, it's just you're describing the vocabulary word for not having a boundary, it's non-existent. So talk a little bit more about this, you know, non-existent boundary thing that you mentioned.
So non-existent is sometimes how we're operating. I think at work it's hard to have boundaries. I think also in terms of parenting, when it comes to our children, when it comes to our family, again around the holidays, sometimes we just blindly say yes, and we end up overcommitting to extra projects, to volunteering activities, to you know, putting other people's health and need before ours. And mm-hmm. that's really just going to set you up to be exhausted really fast,
yeah.
And take from you in non-healthy ways.
Yeah. I would say, I mean, this probably shows up in different ways, but for instance, I have always been a people pleaser. I don't like conflict, for instance. I try to avoid having, I'm a, more of a peacemaker type person. So mm-hmm. I would kind of err on the side of people pleasing until there came a point when I realized that that was not healthy for myself, and it was not healthy for certain members of my family too, mm-hmm. that they need me to put a boundary to protect them as well. So I started to say no to things. It was very hard. But,
yeah.
Got a good point. That's a really good point. I think this is a good time to start talking about, like, how do you set boundaries? I'd love to hear your advice. I mean, do you have, like, a process that you suggest people follow, or just general advice? I mean, how do you suggest people set boundaries, especially if they find it hard to say no to?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing is just recognizing that you need a boundary in the first place. You know, looking and going, okay, something's not working, I am doing too much, sort of having that insight and awareness of something's got to change.
Yeah.
And then really start to look at, okay, why is this not working for me? So if I am putting everyone else's needs first, like a classic people pleaser would, why is that not healthy? Okay, well, you know, I'm not taking care of myself. You know, I'm exhausted, too much is going on. If it's friendships, okay, maybe why do we need to set a boundary there? What's important? What's my motivation for doing this, for making that change? So come up with the awareness and think about why you're actually wanting to do this, and that will actually help you determine what your limits are, because that's sometimes the hardest part of, you know, I want to say yes to my family, but I'm resentful when I do it. Okay, well, what's going to be a healthy boundary? Yeah, I want to see my family, but I need to limit it to this amount of time or these certain ways of interacting with them, and that feels healthier and better to me.
Right.
And then comes, yeah, so once you really figure out what it is you need.
Using your feelings as a judge, like how do you feel about it? That's pretty much, it sounds like the gauge that you know whether, you know, like I guess the signs of stress are an obvious way to look at yourself. I mean, but sometimes we're mm-hmm. so much in stress we don't even realize it.
Right, absolutely. So really, it's, for me, when I'm looking at stress, sleep is the first thing that goes for me and for a lot of people. Either they're waking up too early, their dreams are messing with them. I've seen that come out a lot recently of people just having really strange dreams that are bugging them, or trouble falling asleep, or even sleeping too much. So something feeling off kilter with your sleep or with your eating. Maybe you're not as motivated to do other things, maybe work out, maybe even take care of yourself in different ways. You know, do you feel like doing laundry? Well, I don't know if anybody feels like doing laundry, but now, Debbie, you've gone to the point where you don't have any clean clothes. So kind of going along that self-care spectrum.
Yeah, it's kind of like ding, 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 you need to set some boundaries. You need to say no or whatever it is, right, because you're doing too much. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. And
so,
then, you know, pay attention.
So what else?
Yeah, so pay attention when you're interacting with different people. You know, are you hanging out with a certain friend and going, wow, I'm staying and doing things that don't feel comfortable to me? Or I get home and go, that was really weird. So that kind of trusting your gut instinct and something feeling off or feeling sad or hurt or angry by your interactions with them. Those are also some indicators with that.
Yeah. And that's really tough for a people pleaser, because a people pleaser is like, oh, it must just be me. It must just be me. That's what a lot of times I would find myself saying. It just must be me. I mean, yeah, surely I must have misinterpreted that.
Right.
It's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, I remember doing that. I don't do that much anymore, but I remember that was one of my prime things I'd go to and say, I just wave it off. And I'm pretty intuitive, but I would just kind of wave off my intuition, you know, wave it off.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot to put a boundary. It's hard to do.
Yeah, and I think a lot of questions that people ask along with that is, how do you actually go about setting it? Once you know that you need a boundary, what do you do then? And that's sometimes the scariest part and maybe the hardest part for people, because we don't necessarily want to hurt someone else's feelings or be the deliverer of bad news. And people pleasers especially will just want to say yes and make people feel better. really the best way to do it is, one, understand what the boundaries you want to set. Pick a time and way to communicate with that person that's going to be best. Sometimes it's over the phone, maybe it's face-to-face. There are occasionally times where email is appropriate and text message is appropriate, but usually if you can have a phone call or a face-to-face conversation, that can help eliminate any misunderstandings. You'll also want to make sure that you're not upset or really angry when you're setting that boundary. Make sure that you're calm and confident in your decision to set it. And then use I statement. Yeah, so those I statements allow you. Yeah, so I need to not go shopping because I'm really watching my budget. I'm not going to be able to join you at the mall. Thanks for the invite. That was a clear boundary. And none of that was blaming that friend for calling me. That wasn't judging my friend for calling me. That was, I need this. This is why I'm doing it. It was short, direct, to the point.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, yeah. That makes sense now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now, of course, sometimes the people pleaser thing was just that you want to be the one who is seen as reliable too. You know, you want to be counted
mm-hmm.
on, or you made a commitment, and now you've got you're overwhelmed with it. But one of the things that I learned when saying no, this is a big thing because I used to do a lot of volunteering. I've kind of backed up a little bit on my volunteering because I needed to. Put the boundary. But it was mm-hmm. like, you know, the old saying they say, if you want to get something done, ask a busy person. I ended up being that person, you know, the busy person that people would come to and ask me to do things, and I would do it. But there's a sense of self-esteem that comes from that, look, me, I can do all that, you know. But there
mm-hmm.
came a point where I was having some health challenges, and I had to start saying no to things. And I read something where somebody said something because I was really struggling with it. And I remember reading something about it, really clicked and helped me. I read this thing that said, when you say no to volunteering to do something or when someone is asking you to do something, don't get too stressed out about it. There's somebody else that will be willing to do it. Somebody else will pick up the slack. It's okay, you know, like, and you're all, not only that, you're giving them, another person, an opportunity to step up and shine. And be able to be the one to do it and learn something from it or take the esteem from the public esteem that comes with it and all that. And that is so true because I was, like, volunteering. I had run this whole event for this organization I was involved in, and they were counting on me to do it for the next year. And I said, nope, you can look at all my notes and everything. I can't do it this year. And they stepped up. They used the notes, and they did something even more fabulous than I had.
Wow.
The next year.
Yeah.
So I was like, I had read that, and then I tried it, and I had the proof right there in my face. It was really cool. So I'm mm-hmm. hearing you. I think it's true. And then my I statement was, no, I can't do this. I understand what you're saying now when you say I statements. I can't do this. I have to look out for my health right now. And
yeah.
And it worked. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. That's
and
good.
You gave yourself,
yeah.
Yeah, and you gave yourself permission to say no to that. And
yeah.
It wasn't.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, what about if you can't, like it's work, okay, like you're getting paid? I work with a lot of people as a career consultant who come to me and they say, oh, my gosh, I'm doing the work of three people and I'm not getting compensated for it or whatever. I mean, so I hear this a lot as to why people want to move on to another job. Or I hear them say things like, I left there and they hired a couple of people to take over my job. I was doing the work mm-hmm. of two people, obviously. So what about work? I mean, how do you set boundaries at work? I mean, that's got to be hard to do.
And I think a lot of it also depends on where you work and the type of environment where you're at. I think I would be foolish to say, oh, just go tell your manager you're doing too much. But that's not – you can't always do that.
Yeah.
But I think if you're in an environment, in a company or an organization where you can have an honest conversation with your manager about what's on your plate work-wise and say, okay, here are all the projects that I have, A through Z, which ones are the priority? Which ones mm-hmm. have deadlines coming up? So if they can help you kind of determine where to spend your time a little bit better, and also if you could say, hey, I really want to get Project A done, but to get that and all my other duties completed, I either need some help or somebody else needs to take on some of this.
Yeah.
And really, if you can phrase it in a way of, I want to do better work, I want to have better quality of work, if I can get these, you know, if I can get someone to do these parts of the project, this will be so much better and customers will love it because of this, this, and this.
Yeah.
So I think if you're in an environment where you can have those conversations, not only do you look proactive and more organized and that you can delegate things, I think that makes you look better if you have the ability to do that.
Yeah. Well, and like they said, when I was early on in my career, I remember a mentor telling me this, that don't come to the manager with a problem that you don't have a solution mm-hmm. for, too. So if you can come with a, not just the problem, but also a proposal of how to manage it, I think that would make sense, too. I think there are your excellent point about environments. I know that that exists. There are company cultures in which if you go and you say, this is too much, got too much to do or whatever, they'll, like, look at you as you're ineffective. And I remember coaching with someone who actually worked in a particular industry in which everybody was secretly working extra hours, not letting everybody know that they were doing this, because the culture was that if you were doing that, that meant that you were inefficient and ineffective at your job. And everybody just didn't talk to each other about it, but she was very well aware that that was going on, that everybody was kind of hiding that they were extra. And I was like, oh, that's so sorry.
Yeah.
That's so sad to work in an environment where, so this is so true. Now, these are some really good things to think about, some good advice. I totally agree with you. And I know a lot of us are really not that good at setting boundaries. Maybe because we're challenged with being assertive, or maybe because we're just too new at it and experienced. Like, I used to be really inexperienced at it. I'm much better at it. And I think I can do it in such a way that I don't actually have to have boundary conversations with people and say, okay, now we're going to have a boundary, you know, and have to do it that way.
Right.
But what advice do you have for someone who's either inexperienced or they're challenged with being assertive? What advice do you have around that?
I think the first thing is just to know that it might be really hard the first couple of times, and that you will get some pushback from people because you are setting a new boundary with them, and that pushback may come in the form of some pretty intense feelings. It may be sad. It may be angry. They may be hurt. So if you can expect that on the get-go, it lets you better prepare for it. And then also, we talked about it or kind of talked around it a little bit with the people pleasers, is just some guilt because somebody might be sad or their feelings might be hurt or they might be angry at you. That can be really hard to handle on yourself. And I think to remember when you're setting boundaries, if you go back to that personal why you're setting that boundary, that can help reinforce it. Help make you a little stronger and more confident in setting that boundary with the person so that you don't get into that conversation and maybe cave into a demand you didn't want. And then know if you've had that conversation in a healthy way, using those I statements, not blaming anyone, not judging. If you have done it in that way, their sadness, their hurt feelings, that's not on you. It's not on you to own their feelings, and it's to be expected.
Yeah, that's really powerful right there. I mean, not owning the other person's feelings is so hard because we, especially if you're someone that likes to avoid conflict.
So, yeah,
I think that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and don't shy away from the hurt feelings. If it's with a family member or a friend that maybe, I think especially in friends, I heard a lot from people as they were, I was like, you know, what do you guys want to know about boundaries? They're like, oh, how to talk to my friends about boundaries. The breakups I can handle, all of that, but how do I tell my friends? And so really just have those conversations with them and know that any feelings of hurt or sadness that you have or they have are important, and honor that. Know that, yeah, it's sad that maybe you have to set this rigid boundary with that friend now, because you had such a good friendship and there's love there. So honor the fact that you're sad instead of avoid the sad and avoid the boundary.
Yeah, that's a good point. Same thing with family, because there are some family members
mm-hmm.
you have to do that with sometimes too. So,
yeah.
Now, okay, now what happens when they push back? I mean, what do you do then? because, you know, they're going to people test boundaries all the time, right? I mean, they talk about all the, you know, pushing back on boundaries. So I'm sure grown-ups do the same thing. So what would talk about that a little bit, about reinforcing boundaries.
Yeah, so with reinforcing the same way you set them, if they're saying, well, but I want to do this, I really want to talk about politics, you know, find a way, okay, if you're on the phone, okay, I really don't want to talk about politics, I'm going to go now. It was nice talking to you, bye. And then proceed with actually hanging up. If you're at like a family event and someone wants to talk about politics, you know, can you leave the room? Or you say, yeah, I'd really like to talk about something else. And so finding a way to really reinforce that, because if you say, I don't want to talk about politics, and then you do for 20 minutes, you haven't really communicated what you were wanting.
Good point.
So that reinforce. And when you reinforce it, they're not going to like it, but it's actually, they will learn what the boundary is, and they will also learn to respect it the more you reinforce it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I guess you have to also judge how badly is this relationship, or does this relationship is something you want, right? I mean, it's just like in negotiations, when you say what it is that you want, there's always the chance the other person may say, no, I don't want to negotiate that. It's not my, and they can walk away from the negotiation. I guess the same thing with the boundary. You know, you can say this is the boundary, and they can be uncomfortable with it or be unhappy with it, and it could be the end of the relationship. You know, and I don't know, at some point that has, you have to judge whether that's the healthiest thing. So I get what you're saying about the flexible. Really get it. That makes sense. So, wow, it is, we only have like, I don't know, 4 minutes left. So that was pretty fast. It's already almost time to go. And I really, before we go though, could you just say what you think, like step on your soapbox for a second and tell us like what big key takeaway, if one, they walk away with one thing tonight, you know, on this program, what is it that you would want them to know?
That you have to have boundaries in your life. Having non-existent boundaries with friends, family members, coworkers, at work, volunteering, if you don't have them, you will overcommit, you will do too much, you will be stressed out, you will have burnout. You can set boundaries, they are healthy, and give yourself permission to do it.
All right. What a great message. Now, if people want to reach out to you and work with you, maybe to get some more advice about boundaries or whatever else to reduce stress, or maybe they want to attend one of your programs, where can we send them? You have a website, don't you?
I do. You can reach me at counselingwithchristy.com. And under the Work with Christy, you can find out more about my individual counseling sessions and my workshops on leading a burnout-free life.
Awesome. That's great. Now, that takes us all the way to the end of the program. And thank you so much for being with us, Christy. This was a blast. I'm so glad you could do this. So let's see. The next time is going to be January 15th. I'm going to skip over the first of the new year, and we're going to go right to mid-January for the next program. And I'm going to do something on careers, and I think I'm going to do something on careers and setting goals, because I think it's perfect for the new year, 2017. And I'm hoping that we'll have a very good economy, and so people can start setting goals as to where they want to take their career to the next level. About that. So I loved having you on the program, Christy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. Thanks, Angela.
Yeah, and thanks for all the listeners who are tuning in. And if you want to check out Christy's website, I have that on the resource page, so you can check that out. And you can find me, just go to angelaloeb.com. And everybody else, let's take Christy's advice and set some healthy boundaries, especially as we go into the holidays, and create a burnout-free life. Let's be happy, be awesome, be less stressed, and keep on shining like you're meant to.